those first weeks after the derailment and controlled burn of vinyl chloride from some of the cars, doctors and health officials were trying to figure out how to help residents like Zsuzsa Jenness and her son, who were sick from chemical exposures. Here's the Allegheny Front's Julie Grant again, with a look at what these health professionals did and didn't do, and how those decisions could have long-term consequences for the community.
After the train derailment and chemical burn in East Palestine, Dr. Gretchen Nickel, chief medical officer at East Liverpool City Hospital, about 20 miles south, started seeing patients with physical ailments that could be from chemical exposures.
So when I have patients that say, I've got a skin rash, I've got dermatitis, I'm having a hard time breathing, I'm diagnosing them with a pneumonitis, eyes, ears, nose, throat irritation.
Nickel declined an interview. This is her speaking at a workshop held by the National Academies of Sciences in November. She says she wasn't sure what to tell people.
And knowing that we had VOCs and vinyl chloride, what, if any, kind of testing should we be doing?
Many health officials were asking that same question, whether they should do urine and blood testing for residents exposed to chemicals in the derailment. They did get guidance from the Centers for Disease Control, but there was political wrangling between the state and federal governments, and it took 2 weeks for Ohio Governor Mike DeWine to request support from the CDC. By the time CDC and its Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, the ATSDR, arrived in East Palestine, people in the affected area were past the point of acute chemical exposure.
If you have questions during the presentation, please put them into the chat.
The Pennsylvania Department of Health offered a webinar for medical providers in late February. Dr. Mike Lynch, medical director of the Pittsburgh Poison Center, told area doctors that blood tests were not reliable, not clinically useful, and not recommended for patients.
So yes, with confidence, you can tell them that there is not a chemical test that they should be seeking either from you or elsewhere at this time that can help prove or disprove exposure or would help with diagnosis, treatment, or prognosis from any of these potential exposures.
Lynch said there shouldn't be any additional exposures since environmental monitoring by the EPA showed that chemicals in the air and water were at safe levels. The CDC did not respond to requests for an interview, but several experts we spoke with who focus on public health and research say this advice not to do widespread biological testing was a loss for the community. Dr. Maureen Lichtfeld used to work at ATSDR and was on the ground after the attacks on September 11th and the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. She's now dean of the Graduate School of Public Health at the University of Pittsburgh. Lichtfeld says one key to a better public health response is to gather as much biological data as possible from people who might have been exposed to chemicals. This means getting samples of their breath, blood, or urine.
So if we're not quick enough or early enough to capture that, we're losing the opportunity to measure directly what's happening in the people.
Lichtfeld says the federal government has protocols for a public health response that includes this kind of testing. And Ohio's two senators, Sherrod Brown and J.D. Vance, called for biological testing in a letter they wrote to health agencies in late February. Glenn Talaska's opinion was included in that letter. He's professor emeritus in environmental and public health sciences at the University of Cincinnati College of Medicine. Talaska says emergency responders could easily be trained to take biological samples during that early exposure period.
What I would like to see would be for taking urine samples from individuals. You don't even have to know what the chemicals are. Take the urine samples, store them properly, and then when you find out what the chemicals are, then you could do the analysis for it.
But the Ohio Department of Health says the state's new training initiative for first responders does not include biological sampling. ATSDR did do an assessment of chemical exposures called an ACE survey of 700 Ohio and Pennsylvania residents looking at health symptoms. At a meeting at a local church months later, the agency's Jill Schugert shared the findings.
They had headaches, coughing, difficulty breathing, stuffy nose or sinus congestion, and burning nose or throat.
One mother in the pew said her daughter was still vomiting daily since the derailment.
You're absolutely right.
She and other concerned residents had results of urine testing that showed the markers for vinyl chloride in their bodies, and they had questions. CDC toxicologist Arthur Chang told them those tests are often incorrect. Instead of blood or urine sampling, he advised them to carefully track their health with a medical provider in case they develop cancer.
So that's the reason why we're saying go to your doctor so that you can get examined and get the proper test. We know how to treat angiosarcoma. We may not know how to treat, get rid of vinyl chloride from the body, but we know how to treat those cancers.
My jaw dropped.
Zhuzhe Jenness couldn't believe what the CDC was saying. She moved away from East Palestine after the derailment, but brought the results of her 9-year-old son's urine test from April, showing the markers for vinyl chloride.
I looked around the room. I was like, did I just hear that right? And like literally like they came in and said these ACE surveys showed that you guys are sick. And yeah, the symptoms match chemical exposure. And then we're just not doing anything about it.
The CDC apologized to residents for what they're experiencing and said there's no treatment for chemicals in the body and that there's really nothing they could do. Some researchers are working on small health studies, trying new methods to measure chemicals in people's blood and tracking the health of a cohort in the community. The National Academies convened public health experts last fall to identify future research in East Palestine. But that's not the same as a coordinated emergency response, according to Molly Jacobs. She's an environmental epidemiologist at the University of Massachusetts at Lowell and works with the Cancer and Environment Network of Southwestern Pennsylvania. Jacobs says without early biological testing and a health registry, companies like Norfolk Southern can dodge long-term responsibility for the damage they've caused.
What it does is that the industry has the opportunity to say, look, you know, nobody can find any conclusive connection between health effects and what happened. They can wipe their hands clean of that because we don't have the right tools in place to make those connections if they're there.
Next time a chemical disaster happens, these experts want emergency responders and health officials to be trained to manage not only the immediate medical issues, but also to look out for a community's long-term health interests. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.